Hi, I'm Will Robinson and welcome to the official Crystal Palace podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Stirs, the world's first zero-waste coffee. Stirs are a proud local partner and hot drink supplier to the Eagles, supporting a more sustainable South London. Whether you're at the match or watching from home, try their great-tasting coffee and hot chocolate by visiting shop.cpfc.co.uk. And the best part? A portion of the proceeds goes straight to the Palace for Life Foundation. Supper cuppa to help young South Londoners. Perfect. Now sit back and enjoy the official Crystal Palace podcast. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Singapore. It's finally here. Palace have arrived in Asia. And for all those local fans or for those who are travelling out here, we cannot wait to see you out and about over the next few days. But for those who aren't, we're going to do our best to bring you closer to the action with Tour Daily on the official Crystal Palace podcast. Check back in every morning for a new episode in your podcast feed to get all the latest news, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes action. Now, we're recording this episode looking over the beautiful Singapore skyline, but just to get here takes a huge amount of planning and preparation, particularly for professional athletes. Now, there's jet lag, long-haul flights and days without training to think of. So I spoke to our first team sports scientist, Cedric, to find out just what goes into keeping players fit on a tour like this. Cedric, we're stood on the 18th floor of the hotel. Firstly, just how nice is it to finally be out in Singapore after all the planning that must have gone into this?
Yeah, it's nice. Quite a long journey, but yeah, happy to be here. It's weather different than London, but I'm pretty sure we'll be get used to quite quickly.
Well, we'll go into the detail in a minute, but just give us a insight into how much work goes into preparing for a tour like this.
Well, I suppose like it's nearly like 6 month work, really, like where we knew that we'd be coming here like in season last year. So yeah, I think like from operation to, I mean, like coaching, sports science, SNC, like everyone like did quite a huge work to make sure like the player in the best condition possible for those three games. So yeah, fair bit of work.
And from your point of view, what's the kind of things that you have to think about before we even get on the plane and leave?
Well, as we're talking about like long-haul travels, you obviously like have a jet lag, which will be a big effect on the player and staff members, where especially you come that direction of the planet where you have to reduce your day, because obviously like it's 6 hours, 7 hours ahead of London time, so you have to wake up earlier, fall asleep earlier, so it's quite difficult really. So to help the player, just like try to put like really basic advice in place, like, you know, like before the flight, try to go to bed a bit earlier, wake up a bit earlier, to try to get closer to Singapore time first. And again, yeah, just basic advice is around sleep, really.
And so what is that advice around sleep that you give to the players once they're on the plane and when they get here?
Well, so before, and like the idea was like, again, like to adapt your body clock to the time zone. In the flight, we left like at 9 p.m. from London, so the idea was to sleep the first part of the flight and then wake up around like midday Singapore time, which I think has been great. And during the flight, there's very basic things you can do, like make sure like you wear eye mask, hair plug, and you're sleeping on the right time was the main thing to do, really. On the top of that, a few other bits like compression garment, just helping more with the fatigue induced by the travel, so just avoid like tired leg and those kind of thing.
Yeah, because there were a few people that asked when they saw the photos what they look kind of like a cross between football socks and stockings on the players' feet. Just explain what they're for.
Oh, this just actually like increased the pressure around the calf and just help like blood flow, because when you sit like for quite a long time, that blood flow is not really working properly and then can create a little bit of fatigue post-travel. So this is just help like to keep the blood going, really. Very basic. It's quite it's very used in the other sports, but even in football as well, like post-game and stuff. Something that anyone can use, really.
And now that we're here, how quickly are the players having to adapt to the Singapore time? And then soon it will be the Melbourne time as well.
Yeah, well, so again, like when you go that side of the world, so it's a bit tougher to adapt, actually. You need about 1 day per time zone crossed, okay? So thinking about like, you have 7 time zones, so we have to about like 7 days, but because we've done a good job before and now, so hopefully like within 3-4 days we will be all right. So to help to facilitate this, what we've been doing is just like to give the players the opportunity to sleep, because what's happened when you travel that way, you're gonna like wake up during the night, because let's say when it's midnight here, well, it's actually 1 o'clock at home. Try to sleep at 1 o'clock. It's pretty tough, isn't it? So this is what I try to do, and then like slightly shift forward every day. So for example, today is the first day, and I have like a late breakfast, and then like a training session in the afternoon, and like the day after, breakfast is going to be slightly earlier. Same for training and so on. So.
And just from a wider point of view, how important is sleep when it comes to Premier League footballers?
Oh, well, that's the £1 million question, isn't it? Well, really important. Like, I mean, basically, like, sleep is like such a big part of your life. You know, I'm not sure if you knew that, but you sleep a third of your lifetime. So, I guess it's quite important, really. But then, like, all around performance, we know that sleep has an impact on endurance performance. Like, if you don't sleep much, you know, like running might be, you might run like a bit like quick or a bit less longer. Impact your decision making on a pitch, impact ability to repeat like those high intensity effort, impact your recovery, and in a wider perspective, like if you're not really sleeping well, it impacts your health as well. So yeah, obviously, like sleep is really important for sport performance, but equally, it's really important for health as well.
Is that relatively recent that professional sports teams have started taking sleep really seriously?
I suppose so. Sports club always been caring about sleep, but like it's more and more like sleep is getting more and more important. Like over like I would say like the last 10 years. And you know, like with the integration of new technology in our, you know, daily routine, like sleep is just becoming like bigger and bigger. So, because like now you can track your sleep whenever, you can have like loads of different information through those wearable sensors. So, it's getting more and more important, especially again like when you consider like its potential impact on sports performance.
Do the players wear anything when they sleep, or do you have to trust that when they say they're going to bed, they're going to go to bed, and when they say they're going to wake up, they're going to wake up?
I suppose like some of them like have those devices that they use. Then like it just for us it's more related like to general recommendation around sleep. Do you know like or what the good do you know? Like, a question that we have often, oh, when is the good time to nap and how long shall I nap for? This is the main thing for us, just basic advice, because end of the day, like sleep is a lot related to behavior. So it's like big thing around like changing your behavior toward like better sleep hygiene. So this is more like what we try to do.
Just talk about napping very briefly, because I'm someone that likes to nap. I know people who listen will like to nap, but it's kind of, some people see it as this kind of, old people will go for a nap in the afternoon. Whereas it is something that the players do as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically you have like, let's say an optimal window to nap, which is literally post lunch, where actually what's called a circadian rhythm goes down a little bit, which is actually that mechanism which tell you like to sleep or to stay awake. And basically, yeah, post lunch between 1 to 3, maximum 4, for like between 20 and 90 minutes. it's, let's say, the good rules to sleep, to have a good nap. If you sleep later though, it might affect your subsequent night of sleep, so it might not be ideal. So it can be a good tool, but has to be timed perfectly.
Oh, just final question. How did you sleep last night? Okay.
Yeah, it was all right. I think it is the third time I'm traveling that way. So I'm getting used to that jet lag.
Well, hopefully that conversation gave you some idea of just how much work goes into a tour like this from a sports science point of view. But don't worry, it won't all be about football on this podcast, and it won't all be about football on this tour, because Palace will be out and about with grassroots initiatives. We'll be off to the High Commission on Thursday, and we'll bring you little snippets from all of the action around Singapore on the official Crystal Palace podcast. Remember, there still are tickets available for Palace's game against Liverpool in Singapore. You can find all the details on cpfc.co.uk. But for those of you that aren't out here, don't fret. You can still see all the action, which is going to be broadcast live on Palace TV Plus. And just check out how you can get yourself a Palace TV Plus subscription on the Crystal Palace website. Well, that's all from this first edition of Tour Daily, live from Singapore. We'll see you all again, same time tomorrow. This podcast was brought to you by Stirs, the world's first zero-waste coffee.